The eighth parak gets us to talking about halacha lemaisa as it pertains to Yom Kippur. Mishnah Aleph tells us that there are five different inuyim afflictions that are required on Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim Asur b'achila b'shtia. Number one is eating and drinking. It's prohibited to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. Rechitza, washing ourselves for pleasure. Ubesicha, anointing ourselves with oil. Ubeni'ilas asando, wearing shoes, most particularly leather, but there are many shitas on what shoes are prohibited. Ubetashbi shamita, having marital relations. V'hamelech v'hakam. Kala yirchatzu espeneim, a king who has to maintain his handsomeness, v'hakala, within the first 7 days of getting married, they are permitted to wash themselves to make sure that they look proper, the melech for everyone, and the kala for her new husband, v'hachaya tinol es hasandol, and a woman who has just given birth, she is permitted to wear shoes because having cold feet would be very harmful for her health. Diva Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer dispenses in those three, for those three categories of people. The Chachamim Osrim, even for those, even for the Melech, the Kala, when it comes to washing, and the woman who just gave birth, when it comes to wearing shoes, would be prohibited, according to Chachamim as well. Mishnah Beis. What's the amount that somebody would eat on or drink on Yom Kippur in order to have the violation of Karis, in order to violate the Isher and have to and have the punishment of Karis HaOchel? When somebody eats on Yom Kippur, unless there's a medical need, kekoseves hagasa, somebody who eats the size of a large date would have kares, even less is prohibited, but the kares is only from eating that large date size, kamoa v'chagar inasa, it's talking about the date, the fruit of the meat, the fruit itself, and the gar'in, which is the pit, together, v'hashos, is somebody who drinks, milo lugmav, it's a subjective standard, the size of one full cheek of liquid, that person would be high of kares. All different types of foods would aggregate together to make up the size of a koseves, a large date, meaning it doesn't all have to be from one type of food. It can be small amounts from different types of food. Then same thing with when it comes to liquids. Of all different types of liquid, small amounts can add up to one full cheekful in order to hit the shear, the minimum required that somebody would have kares. However, ha'ochel v'shosa ein mitzdarfin, when it comes to food and drink, they do not aggregate together because they have different shiurim. The shear for food is a koseves, and for liquid is a male lugmav. Mishnah Gimel, achal v'shasa behelemecha. What happens if somebody ate and drank in one fit of forgetfulness? It could be that the person never knew the concept of Yom Kippur. He was a tinuk shenifshva, or didn't know that today was Yom Kippur, totally forgot about it, and the person both ate and drank. Eating and drinking are one category of violation, and accordingly, the person eino chayav el chatas echas at the time of the Beis Hamikdash would bring one korban chatas for both eating and drinking. Achal v'shasa melacha, however, in one forgetful fitness, one non-awareness that it's Yom Kippur, as we mentioned, didn't know it was ever Yom Kippur, never had chinuch, forgot today was Yom Kippur, whatever it may be, mistakenly we're talking about, and he came to eat and do malacha chayav shtei chatos, because eating and doing malacha, violating Shabbos and Yom Kippur in that way, that person would have to bring two korbanos chatas. Achal achalim she'enu ruin le'achila. If the person ate food that is not edible, rotten meat, v'shasa mashkin sheina ruin lishtia, and a drink that is not edible, it had rotten, or similarly, v'shasa tzir or morius, an example would be of something that's inedible. Somebody who drank liquefied fish brine or liquefied fish fat, that person would be potter, would not be chay of kares, even if the person ate the minimum shira, had the koseves or had the male lugmav, so the person would not receive kares. Still don't do it. Mishnah Dalit, when do we start educating the children to fast and the other things on Yom Kippur? Hatinokos, other things, you start when young, but how about fasting? Hatinokos, young, between bar or bas mitzvah, a boy 13, a girl 12, Ein me'anino some Yom HaKippurim, they don't fast a full day until they're literally until bar and bas mitzvah. This is not necessarily how we are noheg, but this is what the Mishnah says. Aval mechanchin osam lifni shana v'lifnei shana saim, a year before, 2 years before, is when we start midin chinuch, having them fast a little bit into the day. If they are strong children, 2 years before bar and bas mitzvah, and if they are weaker, it'd be 1 year before bar and bas mitzvah. B'shvil sheyu regilim b'mitzvah, so we can get them acclimated to doing the mitzvahs. Mishnah, hey, we start talking about pituk pikuach nefesh, when fasting becomes dangerous on Yom Kippur. Obviously, the person has an obligation to eat. So, Mishnah Hey Ubarashi Richa, if we have a woman who is expecting and she smells some food and she says, I absolutely need that. She has an uncontrollable urge to eat. We should try to dissuade her. But nonetheless, if that doesn't work, ma'chilin osa ad shetashiv nafsha, we can feed her until she calms down and then we would stop feeding her. Chola ma'achilin osa al pi bikim. If somebody is a chola, and we're talking now about somebody who's really sick, safek pikuach nefesh, could be dangerous, but the person says, I'm okay, I want to continue fasting, but the bikin, the doctors say this person needs to eat, the person is required to eat, even though the person doesn't believe he or she needs to eat. V'im ein sham bikim, we're talking about now, not that there aren't doctors there, but if the doctors are saying the person does not need to eat, but the person is saying, I do feel I need to eat, I think I'm in danger, ma'achilin oso apil atzmo, we would give the person to eat, even though he's saying I need to eat against what the doctors are saying, and we feed him ad shi omar dai until he says that is a sufficient amount of food. Mishnah Vav, we continue talking about dangers on Yom Kippur. Misha achsa bulmus. A bulmus is a life-threatening disease that is induced by severe hunger, and the indication is when the person's vision is severely impaired, the person cannot see well or cannot see at all. Ma'achilin oso afilu dvarim temeim ad shi ye'oru einav, we feed the person even treif until the person's vision is restored, because that's when we know that the danger has passed. This is talking about when we don't have kosher food right there. Don't go and get the kosher food. If you have tray food right there, you need to get rid of this disease quickly by feeding the person. Similarly, mishanashcha kelev shot, if somebody is eaten by a mad dog, a dog with rabies, eim achilin oso mechatzer kaved shelo, we do not feed him from a certain part of the liver. In other words, the Tanakhami is saying that this is not a proven method of healing. It's a quackery. This healing that they used, this cure that they used to use at the time of Chazal, that was done by people. This was commonly done by society and the doctors. They thought that feeding a part of the liver of that dog would take care of the rabies, and the Tanakhama saying that is not effective, so you cannot do that either on Yom Kippur or either to other times as well, because you're feeding the person treif even on a non-Yom Kippur day. Rabbi Masya ben Charash Mati, Rabbi Masya ben Charash is of the view that it is effective. That was the sheet of Rashi, that he felt that it was an effective cure and it can be used, or others explain that even if it's not effective, but because it was believed by people to be effective, it could have a placebo effect on the individual. V'od Amar Rabbi Masya ben Charash, in addition, he says as follows, hachoshes begrono, if somebody has a pain in his throat, it's not talking about a regular sore throat, it's a certain type of disease that started in the gums and went to the throat and would spread to the body. It was also a pikuach nefesh, a dangerous situation. Matilim lo sam besoch pi b'shabbos, we would pour down whatever cure is necessary. In other words, we would be mechalo shabbos, whatever is necessary to save this person. Mibnei shu sfeik nefashas, a sfeik nefashas, we have a concern. It could be even possibly life endangering. Even when we have a doubt on pikuach nefesh, we profane Shabbos to save the life. Similarly, Mishnah Zayin says, Mishanafla Allah Matpolis, even if it's a distant, a small possibility of saving of life. For example, a building collapsed on somebody. Safek husham, safek enosham. Maybe the person isn't even there. Safek chai, safek mei. Even if the person is there, but maybe he's dead. So we have a double safek. And in fact, we have a triple safek. Maybe he's alive, but safek over. Maybe he's not even Jewish. Nonetheless, even if it's a distant possibility, we could save the life or extend the life a little bit. It doesn't matter. We have to be Mechal Shabbos, Yontif, Yom Kippur. We have to remove the rubble collapsed on top of him in order to make an effort to save that life. Matzah Ochai, if we find him alive, even if he's on his last breaths, and we can still extend his life a little bit by taking off the collapsed building on top of him, Mefachim Alav, we would remove the rubble even to extend the life a little bit. V'imeis, if the person has passed away, Yanichu, leave him there. Even if it's merely an Issa Derabban and a Muksa to remove the rubble, we don't have that heter anymore because he has passed away. Mishnah Ches and Tes talk about tshuva and the effect of Yom Kippur and tshuva. Mishnah Ches, we're not going to go into the detail. The Rambam goes into significant detail of when do we have a kapara or not, but we'll see that there are different levels of kapara, and the different kaparas act depending on the severity of the sin done. Chatas ve'asham ta'vadoi. There's certain at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you could bring a korban chatas, you could bring an asham vadai mechaprim, and they would have a kapara when a person did tshuva, and when he brought the korban chatas and asham vadai for the sins that they were relevant to with tshuva, that would act as a kapara. In addition, misa v'yom ha'kippurim mechaprim in tshuva, that's a person's death, and Yom Kippur also act as atonement, depending on how severe the sin is. You may just be able to do tshuva. Sometimes tshuva is not sufficient. You also need Yom Kippur in addition to the tshuva, and sometimes the Yom Kippur is not enough in order to get a full atonement. You actually need more than that. Sometimes you may actually need the person's death to come, or Yisurim. It doesn't talk about this, but it talks about in the Gemara, sometimes certain types of sins need physical pain in order to have a true kapara. So the Mishnah continues, tshuva mechaperes al averos kalos. Tshuva, that we have mentioned, that it acts as a kapara, that it does not mean it acts as a kapara even on the most severe sins. Just doing tshuva, that is enough for the less severe sins. For example, al aseh v'alot aseh, if I violate an aseh, if I don't do most of the mitzvahs aseh, don't put on tefillin, don't put on, and I do tshuva, that would be sufficient. Or the less severe lot aseh, tshuva is sufficient. And also, balachamuros hitola, when it comes to the more severe lot aseh, tshuva in of itself is not going to be sufficient. It will be suspended. In other words, the tshuva will suspend punishment. The person won't be punished for the more severe sins, but he will only have a kapara ad sheyavo yom ha-kippurim v'chaper, only once Yom Kippur comes. And as we mentioned before, sometimes if it's a real severe sin, even Yom Kippur is not going to be enough. You have to wait for yisurim, physical pain. And if it's a chilul Hashem, it will not be sufficient, not even tshuva, not even Yom Kippur, not even Yisroel, the physical pain. All of those will suspend the punishment until the person actually passes away. Continuing Mishnah test, there are actually limitations when somebody does tshuva. Ha'omer echeta v'ashuv, echeta v'ashuv. Let me sin, and then I'll do repentance. In other words, it was deliberate. I'm going to sin, but I'll be able to clean it up with tshuva. Ein maspikim biyad olasos tshuva. He will not have the opportunity to do tshuva. Similarly, echeta v'yom ha'kippur mechaper. Somebody says, let me do a sin, Yom Kippur will atone for it. Ein yom ha'kippur mechaper. Yom ha'kippur, in this situation that he did the Avera with the intention, I'm going to do the Avera and I'll clean up the mess I create afterward with Yom Kippur, will atone. That is not what Yom Kippur is for. In addition, Yom Kippur is effective for the Ben Adam LaMakom, but not LaBen Adam LaChaveiro. Ben Adam LaChaveiro, if we offend somebody, if we owe money to somebody, whatever it means, whatever it is, we have to repair that Ben Adam LaChaveiro situation before the Ben Adam LaMakom, before Yom Kippur will be Mechaper on us. Aveiro Sheben Adam LaMakom, the sins that are between us solely and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom HaKippur Mechaper, Yom Kippur will atone for those. However, Aveiro Sheben Adam LaChaveiro, those sins that we have between us and our fellows, our acquaintances, our friends, other Jews, etc., Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ad Sheyiratzes Chaver, Yom Kippur will not be effective until we appease the person that we offended. Only then will Yom Kippur be effective for those sins that we have done. Ben Adam LaChaveiro. And so Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he made a drush on the pasuk to tell us this. Mikol Chatosechem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. The pasuk in Vayikra, all of your sins in front of Hashem will be purified. The focus here is only those sins that are Ben Adam LaMakom, that are Leif Nea Hashem, Ken Yom HaKippur be Mechaper on Averish Ben Adam LaMakom, Yom HaKippur be Mechaper, those sins that are that we have done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu solely, Yom Kippur atones for. However, Avero Sheben Adam LaChavero, sins we have done to other people, and Yom HaKippur Mechaper, Yom HaKippur can't not be Mechaper, cannot atone until Ad Sheyiratzes Es Chavero, until we have appeased the person who we wronged. Amar Rabbi Akiva, to conclude the Masechta, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate is Klal Yisrael, Livnei mi atem mitaharim, in front of you, who do you cleanse yourself of? Mi mitahareschem, and who cleanses you? We're talking about two categories of people, people who take the initiative, you are mitahar yourself in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and those who don't take the initiative, Hashem will give us the push, who will give us the push to be matar ourselves? The answer to both of those questions are Avichem Shabashamayim, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should take the initiative to be matar ourselves. If not, it's in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the push to be matar. And now Rabbi Akiva brings two psukim that says such, Shenemar, in talking about the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give the nudge to do the tahara, the tshuva, they don't take the initiative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will put put the purifying water on you, I will be metahir you. In other words, even if you're not taking the initiative, I will facilitate it for you. Ve'omer. And in addition, this is talking about the other class of people who do take the initiative. Mikvah Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the mikvah, is metaras. In other words, this is talking about people who take the initiative. They'll go into the mikvah by themselves. They want to take the act. They want to be activists as opposed to passive. And then the Mishnah concludes, ma mikvah, the drasha, what's the comparison of mikvah? You saw ma mikvah, metaher, satameim, just like a mikvah, is metaher, those who are tameim that go into the mikvah, afa kodesh baruch hu, metaher, es Yisrael, so to a kodesh baruch hu, purifies klal Yisrael from its sins.